Let us all say amen.
Amen.
Let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
Salvation has been brought down. From Jesus came down to this earth and lived 30 plus years. Salvation, God sent his son to die for our sins that we might be saved. It's our responsibility to be obedient to God. Amen. So we're here this morning to worship God according to Acts 2:42. The Bible talks about when Luke penned this letter, the Acts of the Apostles. The Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So we assemble to worship God. God is the audience. The brother said in our prayer, we are the participants in worshiping God. And so we understand, we'll look this morning at apostles' doctrine. That's simply saying teaching from the word of God. Fellowship is when we give back to God what God has blessed us with. The word fellowship means to share. We share the blessings that God has blessed us with and give back to him. Not because he needs it, but because it gives us an opportunity to show our love and thanks toward him. Yeah, and then we said breaking of bread. We commune with the Lord. Our minds should go back to the fact that Christ suffered on that cross for 6 hours. He died for your sins and for my sins. He suffered on that cross that we may have a chance for eternal life. And then we have prayer. Thank for our brothers for leading in our prayer. Thank for all the brothers that thus far has participated in worship on this morning. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 47, the fifth act that we find when we worship God, we praise God.
Yes.
According to Hebrews, it's with the fruit of our lips. We don't have instruments of worship.
Right.
We praise God. God has already given us all that we need to worship him in the sense of singing, in that we praise God. We sing songs giving praise to God for what he's done in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke said, in having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to say, if you're visiting here this morning, you're not a child of God. You're not a Christian until you are added to the church. Yeah, you have to add to the church. You're not saved from your sin. No one can go to no one that is at the age of accountability where you are accountable to God because you're old enough, you know right from wrong. No one is saved from their sin until they obey the Lord and do what the Lord commands. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're here this morning, you're visiting, I want you to know up front, we want you to become a Christian. Yeah, you become a Christian. I'll share with that at the close of my message, five acts that one must do in order to be added to the church. To have any hope of going to heaven, you have to obey the Lord, amen, and be added to the church. And there's only one that we can read about in the Bible. And that church that we read about, according to Acts 20 and 28, is the one that Jesus paid for with his blood. He didn't pay for it with money. He paid for it with his blood. Amen? So we're in Philippians, our second installment in Paul's Philippian letter. And I said that you have it in your, if you have a bulletin, the theme for chapter 1 of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians is Christ is our life. Yeah, and as I'm studying this more, I want us to see that you'll find in the letter what it means, because it's in the 21st verse where that theme is taken from, when Paul identifies that Christ is our life. You're here this morning, you're a Christian, you're a child of God. We need to know that Christ is our life.
Right.
Paul said it in that 21st verse. He said, to me, to live is Christ. What does this sermon title actually mean? Yeah. For to me, to live is Christ. Let us find an answer in the scriptures this morning. Yeah. For me to live. Remember, Christ is our life. Yeah. Yeah. And I will see that sometimes I can be living my life and it's all about me. It's all about what I can have, what I can do, what I can. Yeah, that man had that problem because he had a lot of eyes as opposed to Christ being our life. In verse number 11 of Philippians chapter 1, we closed on last Sunday. Paul wrote to those Philippians that he loved, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Mm-hmm. We offer honor to God in the church. Mm-hmm. Understand this here. No one can give praise and honor to God unless they are in the church of Christ.
Tell it.
Yeah, let me say that. Turn your Bible. Let me say it. I want to say it. Don't just say it. Prove it, Brother Stroud. Yeah, in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and the verses 21. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, said, unto him, talking about God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Paul said amen on that. Yeah, so we praise and honor God. You have to be in the church.
That's it.
So those that are not in the church are not, no matter what they're doing, they're not giving praise and honor to God because you got to be in the church.
Amen.
Yeah. And those of us that are in the church, we ought to bring praise and honor to God. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to look at this morning how we do that. Paul, in his letter, picking up at verse number 12, Paul wrote, he said, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said in that verse, he said the things, talking about issues and circumstances, Paul said, those things that have happened unto me, the word fallen me, have come out, he said, rather unto the furtherance or the progress of the gospel. The things that God allows to happen to us are done so by the divine care or providence of God. Yeah. Yeah. Our situations can afford us an opportunity to share the gospel with others. Now, work our Bibles this morning. Look in Acts chapter 8. Show you an example of where the Bible shows how what happened to them happened to the furtherance of the gospel. Yeah, so when things happen to us, I'm going to talk about it a little bit there, because things can happen to us. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, we go through stuff. We have to deal with circumstances and situations. But we find in Acts chapter 8, yeah, man, I want you to understand this here. Paul, before he became a Christian, because Paul talked about, for to me to live is Christ, notice this same person, and I shared with you how Saul was his Jewish name, and then when he went among the Gentiles, he became Paul was his Gentile name, but here he was that Jewish person. And the Bible says in Acts 8 and 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committed them to prison. Paul was going into people's house, those people that claimed to be a Christian, Paul was going in there getting them and putting them in prison. There. So when you find out people after you, you got to get away.
Yes, sir.
Not like Southwest Airlines. Yeah, but you got to get away. Yeah, so Paul, The Bible shows us, watch verse 4. Paul now going in the house and arresting people, putting them in prison. But watch how the Bible teaches us how when things happen, it can happen for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 4 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Yeah. So when things happen to us, in this case, it happened to the furtherance of the gospel. Because if they had stayed right where they were in Jerusalem, then they would only be able to share with Jerusalem. But because of the fact Paul made havoc of the church, Paul scattered them, they went everywhere preaching the word. Yeah, so I want to say again how when things happen to us, understand, and let me clarify this here, because sometimes we'll incorrectly use the statement, I was providentially hindered. That's a false statement, and there is no truth in that. Because the word providence means to provide for someone. God never hinders anyone.
See that?
Yeah. Definition. Good definition of providence. Give an example of that. Providence is the intervention of God into the affairs of men, but by means of his natural law. Yeah. Providence is when God intervenes into our lives, but it's by natural law. What do you mean, Brother Rock? I'm sick. And I have found out I have cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned. I might even worry. But we know that worrying is sin. Yeah. But I'm concerned. So I want the church to pray for me. Yeah. Because God hears the prayers of the
righteous.
Yeah. But understand this, Brother Stroud. In order for God to intervene into the affairs of your situation, God works through natural law. I may have to go to chemotherapy. I may have to go through other types because that's God's natural law. So when I say things like, oh, pray for me to God, God don't do miraculously anymore.
Yeah, you
go.
That's right.
We are out of the miraculous age. God does not miraculously intervene in nobody's life. But we pray to God. Pray for Brother Stroud. He had, Lord, help him with his cancer. So now I may have to go to MD Anderson, to the cancer center, where they treat that type of illness. And then they tell me, Stroud, you're going to have to go. We have this treatment plan. We have this treatment. We have all of this for you. And hopefully, if I follow the treatment plan, one day I'll be able to ring the bell. That's how God. That's God's providence. God works through natural law.
That's it.
Wants to understand that. Now, do we pray? Yes, we pray. But then I have to also do the things necessary in my life.
Right.
Give me another example. Well, I don't have a job. And I know that it's my responsibility to provide for my family. And the church can pray for me all they want, but if I don't get up and go fill out no application and apply. God's not going to do anything. That makes sense?
That's right.
Yeah. You get, sometimes we can pray for people, but people, part of prayer, I got to do what God say do. Yeah. Yeah, God knows that I have a family to provide for. However, in order to get a job, I got to go apply for a job. Ain't no job that's going to come and jump on me. Wake me up, I got a job for you. It don't work that way. God works through natural law. I do my part, I fill out the application. God can intervene in the hearts of people to say, give this person his job.
There you go. That's it.
So Paul said in the text, the things which happened unto me came out rather unto the fathers of God. So Paul said, understand this, the things that happened to me, God intervened. And we'll see it in the text where he out for prayer, asked the church to pray for him in that sense. So again, I want to establish the fact what providence is. Because sometimes you'll be, well, I'm providentially him. God don't stop nobody. No, that's a false statement. You saying that it's because of God you can't do something. Be careful. I can't find in the scripture where God provident hinders somebody. Because God wants everybody to be saved. Yeah. Anybody that's born, and we'll see in the text here, God wants all men saved. Yeah. Yeah. Paul, and he wrote to Timothy. 1 Timothy 2. Yeah. In verse number 4, when Paul wrote 1 Timothy 2 and 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come until the knowledge of the truth. So that means that in order for a person to be saved, he have to come into the knowledge of the
truth.
Yeah. God don't want nobody lost. So when I start reading stuff, I said, well, you know, God, no. God wanted Judas saved. But Judas had to obey God. But Judas, like some of us, Judas had an issue in his life. And he allowed that issue to drive him to sell Jesus out. His issue was covetousness. He was greedy. Money was his issue. The devil knew money was his issue. So the devil used that issue to drive him to sell the Lord out. And some of us, we got to look into ourselves. What is the issue that you have that will keep you from coming to worship God? Yeah. What is the issue in your life to keep you from giving to God like you ought to? Paul says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The word bonds mean Paul was in prison, the condition of imprisonment. Paul says, so that my imprisonment, made the word manifest means to be made known. He said, in all the palace, all the Roman guards were knowledgeable because Paul was a prisoner. They watched him. They talked about him. Paul said in all the other places. Understand this here. People will know of your situation and will share with others. Yeah, people say, well, you know so-and-so going through this and this and that. Having said that, we want to deal with things in a Christian manner. Yeah, we all got to understand that every member here at Highland Heights, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 now. I want you to know that somebody watching you. Yeah, and I got to behave myself. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 2, Paul said, he was talking to Corinthians, you are our epistle. Epistle means letter. Notice where it's at. It's written in our hearts, known and read of all men. People reading our lives. When we don't carry ourselves as Christians, people see that in our lives. So it's our responsibility that there is some consistency in how I live. Known and read of all men. People reading our lives. Paul said they know about me. They know about me. And he says, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. The word waxing means to grow. Paul was saying here, he said, guess what? Because I'm in prison and I'm in the condition I'm in, he said, what done happened now? Other brethren then grew confidence because I'm in prison. And now they are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Yeah. When we as Christians display spiritual bravery, it strengthens other Christians as they face difficulties in life. When someone finds out you're going through something, they say, man, look at so-and-so. Man, you know what happened to him? Yeah, man. And guess what, man? He's still faithful to God. It strengthens other people.
Amen.
Yeah, so when you're going through stuff, understand, people know you're going through it because they people talk. They talk.
Yes, sir.
Man, you know what Sister so-and-so going through, experiencing? Yeah, man, but all I know, man, she's faithful on Sunday. She's faithful on Wednesday. She's faithful to the Lord. Going through that, yes, she's still faithful.
There you go.
And Paul said in the letter, he said, understand this here. When people understand that I'm in prison and I'm still preaching to God, what it's going to do is give other people confidence. We got to give other people confidence that, guess what? If I'm a Christian and all I walk around here with my head down and woe is me and I'm... Who want to be a Christian? Who want to be a Christian? All we do is complain about life, about this. About, why do I want to be what you are when you ain't got nothing going for you?
That's right.
Yeah, being a Christian, as young people say, we got it going. Yeah. That don't mean I ain't got challenges. That don't mean I ain't got trial. That don't mean I got difficult. But guess what? I'm holding my head up high enough, not too high, because that's pride.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if it's high enough, that's having proper self-esteem. Yeah. Paul said this, we got to live a life where people want to be what we are. So when I'm sitting around, if all you doing is sitting around complaining, y'all complain with each other, you know what I'm saying? That ain't doing no good. Understand this here. Being a Christian is the greatest thing anybody can have in their life.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking. C.J. Stroud got all that money, and he's leading the Texans. But let me tell you something here. This Stroud is living better.
No. That's right.
This Stroud is living better. Yeah. And I've tried to do some things to see if I can get an opportunity to teach him the gospel. Yeah. This soul needs to be saved too.
That's right.
Yeah. I want an opportunity. I tried to get some things working that I get an opportunity to teach that young man. I'm a Stroud, you a Stroud, but let me have you become a child of God.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, but understand this as a Christian. We got it going on. Yeah, don't walk around with your head down. That don't mean you're not going to have challenges. We all have issues. Sometimes issues are different. Some people have financial challenges. Some people have health challenges. Some people have, we have challenges. Yeah. But guess what? If you didn't have them, how you going to prove your faith to God if you don't have no issues? Yeah, you got to take a test. You got to be challenged.
Amen.
To show that Christianity is what it's about. Yeah. Paul said that some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Paul said some people, you know, they do it because they are envious. Let me say this here. Envy sees another person as a rival and not a friend. That's what envy is. Yeah. They are a rival and not a friend. In Acts chapter 7, we have an example of that. Acts 7, I like to just cement things with scripture. You have an example where the Bible says concerning Jacob's brothers. The Bible says, and the patriarchs, Acts 7 and 9, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Mm. Yeah, so envy is a displeasure of the prosperity of other people. That's when something good happens to somebody and you don't feel good, you got envy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you hear a person's name and you kind of cringe a little bit, your issue is envy. Mm. Yeah. And because they was envious of Joseph, the Bible said they sold a 17-year-old boy into slavery. But understand this, no matter what age you are, 17, 16, 7, as long as you have God with you, you're going to be all right. Notice how the Bible said, but God was with him. Mm-hmm. So those people that are envious and jealous and all that, don't worry about that. Just make sure you have God with you. Yeah. And then Paul said, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond. Paul said, now you got some people, they mad at me. That's that rivalry stuff. He said that they preach Christ out of contention. They're supposing, Paul said, that they're bringing affliction. They think they're hurting me. Yeah, the Apostle Paul writes, preachers can preach with different motives. Yeah. Sometimes the motive is not good. But Paul said this. He said, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Yeah, Paul said that I'm ready to give a response for the gospel. Yeah, he said, but others out of love, they preach the gospel. And Paul said, I'm like them, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And we introduced the definition, I think, Brother Kyle Butt, as I said before, been on our nationwide gospel call. He gave what I thought possibly was the most accurate definition that I think of love. When he said love is doing what is spiritually best for others, regardless of what it costs, whether they deserve it or not. That's what Jesus did for all of us. Mm. Jesus did what was spiritually best for all of us. It cost him his life, and we did not deserve it.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah, now that's love. As I said before, I think last week, mothers ought to have this type of love that you're going to do whatever you can, whatever spiritually best for your children. Yeah. Regardless of what it may cost you. And sometimes they don't even deserve it. But that's why you love them. That's what love is. It's doing for people what is spiritually best for them. Yeah. I know here, Highland Heights, there's going to be some decisions made that as a part of leadership I have to make. But I'm doing it because what's spiritually best for you. You may not agree with it. You may not like it. That's okay. As long as I show love towards you and I'm doing what's spiritually best for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Paul said, what then? Notwithstanding, in every way, he said, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul said, whenever the gospel, whenever Christ is preached, Paul said, it brings joy to me to hear the word of God preached. That's what brought him joy. Then he said, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I know this, that your prayers for me, the word salvation simply means to be delivered. Paul said, I know that your prayers for me will help me to become free from this prison, from this confinement. He said, and that God is going to supply me, he said, through the Spirit of Christ. Yeah. So again, what we're going through, we do need prayers. We want prayers for others, or prayers of the saints, Peter said in 2 Peter 3, and no, 1 Peter, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 3. Let me get that so we'll see that. Peter said that. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 12 to let us know that we, and understand this here, we don't need miracles, signs, and wonder today. Why? Because we have the ability to pray. That's why we don't need no miracle. All we got to do is pray. Watch what Peter said. Peter said, for the eyes of the Lord, 1 Peter 3:12, are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Yeah, so all we have to do is pray. Pray to God. Yeah, pray. Prayer works in the life of a Christian. We have one of the best examples I see. I'm going to move toward the close here. Turn to James, chapter number 5. James 5 and verse 17. I want us to see about why all we need is prayer, Brother Stroud. Because in James' letter to the Christians, he gave an Old Testament example to teach us a New Testament point. Notice what he said, verse 17, James 5. I'm talking about prayer now. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he was saying Elias are going through the same thing that we're going through. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Watch the prayer now. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah prayed to God that it might not rain. It did not rain for 42 months. That's how powerful prayer is. When you are a child of God and you go to God in prayer. Watch again. The Bible says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That's all we need is prayer. Pray for people. That's why it's important when worship is closed and when Bible class is closed and people ask for prayer, we need to be listening.
Yes, sir.
That's not a time to get up and go out and go do something different. Amen. That's not of necessity. We need to hear. I want to hear who it is asking for prayer. So when we, Mr. Stroud, pray each night, we can pray for those people. Sometimes we can pray collectively. Lord, I'm praying for all those this morning that was at worship service that asked for prayer. And sometimes we can just make it individual. Lord, I'm praying for so-and-so that you will intervene in her lives and give her the resources necessary that she can overcome whatever it is. Because God, again, works through his natural law. But we understand that prayer works.
Yes, it does.
Prayer works.
Yes.
Pray for people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bible said the prayers of the righteous. That's what he said in verse 16. Notice he said when we're going through stuff. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Verse 16 of James 5. That ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Pray for people that God can do for them things. And that's why sometimes when I don't have to do an autobiography, I can just come up and say, church, pray for me.
All right.
Yeah. Now, if I want to go into detail, that's on you. But I'm just asking for the prayers of the church.
There you go.
And I have sometimes people just say, I need prayer.
There you go.
Yeah. God know what it is you're asking for.
Right.
Or what that person needs so God can intervene in the person's life. That's providence. Amen?
Amen.
Then, let me get these last two scriptures. Paul said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ, here we go, shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He said, for, here's my title, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is vain. Mm-hmm. Let me unfold that. Paul said, to my earnest expectation, that means when you want something to happen. Paul said, along with my hope. He said, now understand this here, that in nothing I shall be put to shame. Ain't nobody going to shame me. I'm a Christian. He said, but with all boldness, he says, always, he says, so now I want Christ to be magnified in my body. Yeah, I want Christ to be. Now, remember, know what a magnifying glass is. A magnifying glass makes something. Yeah. So Paul is saying, that's what I'm understanding about this study now. I got to allow Christ to become larger in my life, and Horace Stroud becomes smaller in my life. Yeah. Christ became a vocation to the Apostle Paul. In other words, Christianity must become my work if I plan to go to heaven. Christianity must become my work. Yeah. This demands we also become more acquainted with Christ and Christian living. We as Christians, we got to learn how to live as a Christian. Yeah. So now what is Paul saying? Christ must be magnified in my life. Yeah. Yeah. Christ becomes the first time. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Try to get these two points in, and the message is yours. Romans chapter 6. When does Christ first become magnified in my life? Well, Paul said in Romans 6 and 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized in his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let me say this here. If you're sitting here this morning, Christ first becomes magnified in anybody's life when they obey the gospel. Christ can't do nothing in your life until you obey the gospel and become a child of God. Amen. It starts there.
That's right.
It starts there. So now, I want to see biblically how, I want you to see how Paul was, and then what Paul meant by for me to live is Christ. Turn your Bibles, because we got to read a little bit, to Acts chapter 9. You just going to stay in Acts chapter 9. I want you to see this. Yeah, Acts chapter 9. Now, remember, this person was Saul. This is the same person, Acts chapter 8, that we read, that he went into people's houses, and he was throwing them in jail and getting arrested. Watch the scriptures. Verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went in unto the high priest and desired of letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shine round about him a light from heaven. So now, understand this here. Paul was on his way to get letters from the high priest that if I found anybody that called himself a Christian, I had a letter to put them in jail and lock them up. This Paul. And the Bible says, when that light shined, he fell to the earth, verse 4, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the Bible says, and he trembling and astonished said, now watch what Paul said. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Mm-hmm. Every one of us need to ask ourselves that question. Lord, what will you have me to do? Now watch the instruction from the Lord. The Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So the Lord sent him in the city. He came into Ananias. And Ananias, understand this here, even when people don't want to do right, God will work with people. Yeah. Ananias said in verse 13, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. So understand this here. Sometimes some of us are bad people before we obey the Lord. Mm-hmm. We can do stuff evil. Yeah, and people know about it. And sometimes if we're not careful, we don't want to teach people because we think they ain't going to go to heaven or they think they're too bad. Stop judging people.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't care what that person, I don't care if he's on drugs, I don't care if he's an alcoholic. If you have the opportunity to teach that person, don't be like Ananias.
There you go.
Lord, I know about him. Man, that person don't want to go to church. All that person want to do is drink. All he's doing out there are sinning and fornicating and all that stuff here. Stop judging people.
Amen.
The Bible says, the Lord told him in verse 15, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, sometimes we want to do what we want to do. Save everybody. I don't care if it's your brother that you don't care for, your sister that you don't speak to. If the opportunity presents itself, share the gospel with them.
Amen.
That's the point we find here.
Right.
And notice, once we find what Ananias heard the Lord said, the Bible says, now watch the text now. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeareth unto thee in the way as I came in, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately, the Bible said, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, because he couldn't see. And he received sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. Amen. That's when he began to magnify the Lord. So now, remember this here now. This is a Paul who had put people in jail and was doing wrong. But I'm saying to all of us can change.
Yeah.
Watch the verse. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Now remember now, he went to Damascus to put people in jail. But now watch verse 20. Here's our text here. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God.
Amen.
But all that heard him was amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And come hither for that intent that he might bring them bond unto the chief priest. It's not, wasn't this the man that was arresting people, putting them in jail? Understand this here. When you obey the gospel, you need to start allowing Christ to magnify in your life.
Yes, sir.
Paul changed.
Yes, he did.
All of us can change through the word of God. And I'm saying all of us, we need to allow Christ to be magnified in our life. Let people see more of Christ and less of us.
Amen.
Here's our case study. Excellent case. So when Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, we should live a life where people can see Christ in our life, how we carry ourselves, how you conduct yourself. Try to teach everybody. Our mission is Christ's mission. to seek and to save those that are lost. But Buster, I can't get around no more. I can't do it. That's okay. You got a cell phone? You got a cell phone? Yeah, call them. Buster, you busy? I got somebody on here I want to teach the gospel. I'm stopped being busy. Amen. They want to study the word of God. Let's study together.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Jones. Yes, sir. Do you have a Bible? No, I don't have a Bible. Do you have one? Yeah, I have one. Go get it. Because I want you to read the things that are written. Amen. As I close, excuse my time, I want us to understand that Christ, Paul was saying, remember now, Christ is our life. That's the theme of chapter 1. And I'm saying to all of us that Christ needs to be magnified. Yeah, magnifying glass make things larger. Yeah, that's simple. So Christ needs to become larger in our lives that we obey the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, I'm saying to you, I'm talking directly to you now because I want you to become a Christian. How do I become a Christian, Brother Stroud? Well, the first thing you must do, you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's found in 1 Corinthians 1 through 4. Where you'll find three facts: that Jesus Christ died for your sins and mine. Mm-hmm. They buried him in a tomb. He rose the third day. Okay? Let's try to hear that. I believe that. Now what you must do, you must now repent of your sins. What does repenting mean, Brother Stroud? The life you've been walking opposite of Christ. You need to turn around and start walking toward Christ. Gotcha, Brother Stroud. Okay, what else I must do? Well, you must come down here this morning and make the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the unit made that confession in Acts 8:37. You'll just come down here and you'll make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then what we're going to do, we will then water baptize you for all of your past sins, Acts 22:16. And what baptism does, it washes away every sin that you've ever done in your life. Why? Because by faith, the blood of Christ is in that water. And that blood cleanses you of all your past sins. Now you come up out of water, you have a new life. You are a Christian now. You've obeyed the Lord. There's someone today that want to put Christ on in baptism. You are not a child of God. You are not saved from your past sins until you are water baptized and added to the church of Christ. I can't be baptized in denominationalism or Catholicism. There's only one baptism, and you can't be taught wrong and baptized right.
Amen.
Let me say that. So if there's someone today who would like to be added to the Lord, added to the church, we bid you to come. You need to respond to the gospel message. We bid you to come together. We stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling.